Well, this afternoon, everyone, we want to cover a topic that the Bible makes very clear, that we have a Heavenly Father who is very, very much, he's concerned for the welfare of each and every one of his sons and daughters to be. He's given us many wonderful promises in the Bible, giving us the hope of the future, telling us that what you see around you today is not what's going to be in the years to come. That God is going to transform this world, and he's going to make it the world we all hunger and thirst for. And that's why we pray for thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But right now, we're living in a very dangerous world. There's no doubt about it. Much more dangerous than it was 20, 25 years ago. And we got a lot of warning signs flashing at us, telling us that the days of man's existence is in jeopardy, because we've got things going now where we've got powers on the earth that weren't armed like they were back in World War II, even in Vietnam or Korea. What we have now is nations that are armed with deadly biological weapons and these nuclear weapons, and they're all racing like crazy to get more of them. And as they do, mankind lives under the aura of this deadly potential that could happen, where some madman could press a button and boy, everybody's life is altered almost instantly. How that all turns out, mankind really doesn't understand. We've been blessed by the grace of God to have a peek, as it were, into the future by the prophecies of Almighty God, in which he tells us that we would come into a time period toward the end of man's rule that would very much reflect the time as it was in the days of Noah, that brought about the desolation or the diminution, or whatever you want to use the word for it. The proper word, I guess, is the complete destruction of man's world at that time. It destroyed it because it had gone so bad that God finally just put a judgment on it and says, that's enough, it's over. And so the world was destroyed by water at that time. The next time around, it's going to be quite different. And we know it's going to be one that is going to bring about a lot of death and destruction. And it's sad to think about that. And we don't want to become morose or overboard in our thinking on that. But we should recognize that these are warning signs that God is giving us. He tells us there are going to be signs in the heaven. There are going to be warning signs. He tells us there are going to be signs in the earth, and those are warning signs. The earthquakes in different places, and wars and rumors of wars, all these different things. We find that even in man's world, if we're not talking about spiritual things, if you're just talking about physical things, you see warnings everywhere. And the reason why is because the world we live in, as I said, is a dangerous world. It didn't start out that way. It was a wonderful place when Adam and Eve were here. The animals weren't afraid of man. Man wasn't afraid of the animals. There was no sickness, no disease. It was heaven on earth, so to speak. But you know what happened after the Garden of Eden. The Word of God tells us that the world changed. And something was introduced into this world that has now made it extremely dangerous as we move toward the end time. And that something was sin. A rebellion, a disobedience to God that all mankind has been guilty of, and we are now paying the penalty for it. And so we have to stop and reflect again. The world we live in today, just from a physical point of view, constantly recognizes some of these dangers. For example, when the snowstorm came here and ripped up along the coast, this bomb cyclone or whatever they call it, what transpired was the fact that we had warning signs lighting up on the bridges and saying, you know, the bridges are going to freeze over. Be careful. Because if you didn't, you go sailing off those bridges, you'd be in trouble down on Jekyll Island. They had to shut those bridges down over there because they were completely iced over down there. Savannah never believed they would get that kind of snow, but all of a sudden out of nowhere comes a historic snowstorm that just covers the place up. So we're getting all kinds of strange phenomena out there. Plus, you just live in everyday life and you run into things, you know, buckle up your seatbelt. That's a warning. Why? Because you'll get ticketed if you don't. You got to be safe on the highways. And then they tell you, if you go past a neighbor's yard, you might see, beware of dog. Why? You may have a pit bull or something of that nature, and you could be in danger if you get too close to an animal like that. Then we've got, the first sensitivity warning came back when the Attorney General put a warning on cigarette smoking back in 1965 and told us that you got to be careful. You know, prior to that, if you were a Marlboro man, you were riding a horse and you looked like and envisioned yourself being up in Montana and you would be smoking this Marlboro cigarette. Unfortunately, he died from cancer. And then they finally recognized smoking is a carcinogen. Coupled with that, secondhand smoke was to be considered as a danger, even if you didn't smoke yourself. Then on top of this, now we've gotten enlightened, and we've gotten California coming to the rescue that said, you know, if you really want to get high, you want to move to California, because now we've got weed. We've got marijuana. And you can use this for pleasure purposes of your own. Now, can you imagine what it would be like to be driving down the highway and somebody else is on a so-called high and just happy behind the wheel? And then they end up doing what? Causing accidents. Because, you see, everyone knows that marijuana is a forerunner. It's a opener, a drug opener to heavier drugs. And you go from there, you'll go to cocaine, you go there to the heroin addict. And then now they've got crack and all these other new kind of buzz drugs that come along that they create. So it's a dangerous world now. And they're going to have problems because they're going to have lawsuits on that. You can almost see it coming because, people are not going to be alert behind the wheel, not if they're driving high on marijuana. But we shall see which way it goes. They say as California goes, so goes the nation. And more states are wanting to put this online. Because they like the money. They want to get in on that money that people want to do this, and it's sad. We have labels on alcohol. You know that. It says fetal alcohol syndrome. Well, ladies, watch out if you're drinking and you're pregnant. So now they're discovering all kinds of things like that. Then we got what I call the stupid type warnings. For example, if you ladies have a hair dryer, they tell you don't use that in a tub. You know, why would you use it in a tub? Well, you electrocute yourself, obviously. Or then that sleeping mattress that you're on. It says there's a tag on that when you buy it. You know, it says, do not remove this tag under penalty of law. And what do most people do? They take their scissors and they cut the tag off because that's a joke under penalty of law. Who cares about that? That doesn't make any sense. Then we have medications and all the different ones to be taken under physician's advice. And if you don't take it under physician's advice, you may end up having all kinds of problems and difficulties from taking that because they're really testing the waters. They don't really know 100% if this medication will help you. They hope it does, but they're not sure. Then they tell you if you go down to Disney World and you got the rides, they've got signs there warning you, telling you beware of heart conditions, pregnant, high blood pressure. Why? Because some of those rides will just take you up and down and throw you all over the place. So here again, we live in a world filled with warning signs. But the question I want to ask all of us today as we launch into a new year, and this is the title of the sermon today, how well do you heed the warning signs from God? How well do you heed the warning signs from God? Because God, as a loving father, just like any father who loves their children, doesn't want to see them hurt, doesn't want them to do things that would endanger them in any way, shape, and form. And that's why parents lovingly care for their children, and they say what? They say, don't play near the street. There's cars out there. Be careful. Or they'll tell them, don't eat that. Why? Because that's not beneficial for you. Or they'll have other aspects as the child grows older, a boy and a girl, and suddenly they become aware of the opposite sex, and they want to have a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and the parents have to remind them, don't fall in love with just a pretty face, you know, or he's a hunk, or something of that nature, because you need to know more than that. You need to know what their likes and dislikes are, You need to know how they perceive life. Is it the same way you perceive life? Do you have things in common, or are you on the opposite ends of the pole? Because that will determine whether you have a happy marriage or a marriage in upset. And especially when children come along, then you have the father has one religious belief, the mother has another religious belief. What is the child going to do? Be caught between and betwixt? That happens to people all the time. So these are valid concerns on a physical level. And we've seen the heartache that has been impacted on men and women in their physical lives because in many cases they didn't follow the warning signs on the physical side of life. But I'm going to bump it up a little bit higher and ask us this question again. What about the spiritual warning signs? Because God does talk about that, and he's very concerned about us, because once we've been called to the knowledge of his ways and we are told how to function based on his commandments, his guidelines, his instructions as our Heavenly Father, then we have to ask ourselves, are we in compliance? Are we doing what he says? We like to think we are, but here are some things we're going to go through today, and I'm just going to scan this and take you through, just like the Bible has many precious promises God gives for obedience. He also warns on the flip side of the coin, be careful that you don't fall into these areas that he outlines that could have bad impacts upon your spiritual life. The very first one that we want to take a look at is one that was given by the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was on fire. He was a man on fire for carrying out the will of God. He understood that where he was not good. And God had had mercy and brought him along and was going to use him as a very unique instrument to glorify God by carrying out God's will through the life of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul then dedicated himself as one born out of due season, that he was going to carry out the mission of God. Well, in one aspect of his mission, brought him to a certain location and spoken of in Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul gives this information. He says, therefore, watch. He's talking to these individuals that were in Rome, and he was talking to them, and he says, therefore, watch and remember, listen, that by the space of 3 years, 3 years now, he has been involved in this exercise, that I have ceased not, he says, to warn everyone. Notice again, he's sending out a warning to the people that he's communicating with. He says, to warn everyone night and day. So there were opportunities. He would talk to them in the evening hours, and he would explain the things of God and the warnings that God wanted his people to understand. And then during the daytime, he would have meetings with them as the situation allowed itself to come together. And notice what he did. He did it with tears. Now, it doesn't mean the Apostle Paul was a crybaby. He was not up there just crying. But when it says warning, he says for 3 years, what that is saying is that there was a driven sense of urgency behind everything he said. And he wanted people to understand the seriousness of it to such a degree that he said, look, This strikes home hard, brethren. And because if we fail to watch and we fail to consider the things of God, then there are going to be consequences. And that's what we recognize in the world in which we live. When on the physical level, if we don't follow certain basic guidelines of living life, there are consequences that human beings experience. But in the spiritual dimension of which we've been called, young and old, to understand God says the spiritual consequences are even much more damaging because it affects your the possibility of entering the kingdom of God. And we all want to enter the kingdom of God. And God wants to place us in the kingdom of God. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But there are things that we have to do in compliance and working in harmony with God in order to receive that wonderful blessing. God does not give the marvelous blessings that he has outlined to those that hate him. Now, we are not called to hate him. We were called to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength, and to walk humbly with him all the days of our life. And so what he does, he gives us these various areas in which he then presents warnings that affect the spiritual dimension of our lives. In Colossians 1 and verse 28, Paul goes on to say to the Colossians, whom we preach. Preach what? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, and that we may present every man as well as woman perfect in Christ Jesus. He was explaining and teaching them how to be more Christ-like so that the blessing of God the Father would be upon all individuals who are striving to walk like Christ. He says in Psalm 19 and verse 11, he says, concerning the word of God. He says, moreover, by them, meaning the commandments of God, the instruction of God, your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The reward comes from God's blessing upon us because we strive to walk in his ways. Acts 20 again, in Acts 20, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, or the counsel of God. That is so important. This is why we're called out of the world each and every week on that seventh-day Sabbath of God, to be injected back into the spiritual dimension for which we've been called. Because the dimension we live in the outside world is totally different. And it affects us in different ways. And it doesn't bring good results many times. Remember, it's a mix of good and evil. It's not all bad out there, but there's a lot of bad out there. And God does not, as a loving Father, want us to interface with that bad. And so he gives us guidelines to help us stay away from those problems. Back in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. That's Ezekiel 3, 18 through 21. If you haven't read that in a while, go back and read it at your convenience. Basically, what he is saying is that the watchman has a responsibility. Now, we have to watch as individuals. We're kind of individual watchmen. But the church represents a watchman in organizational form. Our job is to do what? Preach the word and prepare the people. And what kind of word do we preach? We preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God, and that there are great dangers on the horizon of life. Now, people can see there are dangers out there, but they can't connect the dots to understand what fully does this mean. That's the job of the church with God's Spirit, to lead people to an understanding of what these warnings are all about. God just doesn't throw them out to be capricious just because he likes to throw out warnings. He's saying, danger, brethren, danger. And all of us need to understand we've got a cruel enemy out there on the prowl, Satan the devil, and God wants us to warn people through whatever vehicles or doors God opens up, so that as many individuals that God may choose to call at this time will have an opportunity to escape the horrific time that is yet to come upon mankind. Remember, it's a time that is such not like ever has been. That doesn't sound like it's going to be a picnic. Sounds like that's something you want to be delivered from. And the only way you can be delivered by God's gracious hand, is being under the mantle of his divine protection. And it says, if you don't warn, if you don't demonstrate in your personal life, and if you don't, as a collective church body, if you're not doing that job, he says he's going to hold the wicked's blood on our head. And we don't want that. We don't want that. We want to do what God has said and let them then make their decision. They'll have to live and make their own decisions accordingly. Some people, you can't warn. No matter, you know, the old saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And some people, no matter what you say or how you say it, you cannot get across to them the seriousness of some of these things. It's like water off a duck's back. It just gets deflected. They don't want to hear it. When you say certain things, you kind of mess up my personal desires of what I want. Well, that's the problem. Too many people have been going the broad way, wanting to do what they want, and God says it's a straight and narrow way, and very few find it unless they're willing to pay the price and do what God has said and in compliance. And if you do, then you are to heed the warnings of God, because if you don't, it's so easy to go back off that into that broad way that leads to destruction. And that's what a lot of people have done over there. There are a lot of people who have known the things of God and yet walked away from them because they were more worried about what other people thought than God. They were more concerned about certain physical things rather than the things of God that wants to bless us now with an abundant life of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding through his word, and then give us the blessing of all eternity to share with him and God the Father and all the holy angels. It's just a fascinating story to read the Bible and see what it really is talking about. And so many people today dismiss it because they're caught up in the world in which they live. Now, in history, we have the case of an individual. His name was Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar, head of the Roman Empire, was warned on one occasion by a soothsayer. And this soothsayer came and told him, Caesar, beware of the Ides of March. Because that was the time that the plot to assassinate him was going down. He didn't pay attention to that warning. Caesar died because the assassination came to be just exactly as transpired. We have a modern day one that is kind of an interesting one for what it's worth department. Her name was Jean Dixon, modern day soothsayer. She told President John Kennedy, do not go to Dallas because things do not look good for you in Dallas. And of course, people wondered, how did she know? Well, it's not for us to go into those areas. She got some vibes all right, but President Kennedy didn't pay attention to that. And neither should he, but events in life sometimes correlate and show us interesting things. That there are people who have information that doesn't always come from God. There are other information sources in this world from the spirit world. And people connect when they play around with astrology and all things of that nature, when they tell you the stars are not in good favor for you today. Well, these are things are part of the lessons of learning life. What I want to do now is give you a quick variety of things to be mindful of. Again, and ask yourself, am I heeding the warning signs from God? Because there's constant warning signs all around. So here are some of them that we want to look at, spiritual warnings. We are told, beware of going back. That's one of them. Beware of going back. Because as you read in Scripture, there are individuals who started out in the right direction, but as time went along, their course changed. And we find individuals such as Abraham, who was concerned about his son, who was to be married. And so he sent his good servant to find a wife for Abraham's son. And one of the things he told the servant, he says, beware that you do not take my son back there. He was concerned about the influence of the Canaanites, the different ones that were in the land. And so the servant was warned, don't do it. And he pledged with Abraham, and Abraham then did what? Here comes the story of Isaac and Rebekah. And so you have some strict guidelines given. And that leads us to the next thing. What was he concerned about? Here's the warning. Why was Abraham concerned about that? You read that story in Genesis 24, by the way, in verses 2 through 6. Genesis 24, 2 through 6. And why was Abraham concerned? Because he knew it could cause serious problems in marriage. People today have serious problems in marriage. Over the years, marital problems have always been one of the major problems that are discussed in all church denominations. Not just the Church of God, but all church denominations. Why? Because certain things are being violated. And what are some of those things? Well, here's a good one. How about marry only believers? That's the admonition from the Bible. Well, what happens if you don't? Well, you got problems possibly ready to erupt. Now, what are some of those problems? Well, for example, you're yoking yourself with someone who has a whole different set of values that they believe in. For example, now you're husband and wife. One wants one thing, one wants the other. They're not having common denominators. Now you bring children along in the process of time. And the wife says, I want the child to be reared this way religiously. And the husband says, oh, I want the child to be reared this way religiously. Now you've got an in-house war going on. And people have struggled through things like that. So that is part of it. It's very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 17. That's 2 Corinthians 6. And chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Where it says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't lock yourself into something that is going to have negative consequences. God wants us to come out, be separate, and he says, don't touch the unclean thing. In other words, don't get into relationships that are not going to be beneficial or helpful according to the word of God. And then God says, and I will receive you. Follow his instruction if you want to have a good marriage. Now, that's the basic ideal, but human beings don't always live the ideal. So we know there are problems going to be. You work your way through those difficulties, but the more we follow God's instruction, the better off all of us are. Here's another admonition, a warning sign. Beware lest you fall. Don't think that you have got it made, that nothing can ever cause you to slip and fall spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, it says, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Now you're determined today to do the right thing, but what will you do tomorrow? Will something come along that could rattle your wagon? He says, could you be led away with the error of the wicked? Oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that are being promulgated, and it comes from wicked advice and wicked instruction from people. God does not want us to quit. Remember in Luke 9, verse 62, he tells us we are to count the cost. Every one of us, before we were baptized, were told, have you counted the cost? Why? Because there is a cost involved. You can't build a bridge, he cites. You can't wage a war. You can't do any of these things. He cites these examples to help us understand the seriousness of the calling in which we've been given. And there's always that element out there that would like us to let that calling go. Because if you let the calling go, then you won't receive the blessing of God. You'll receive a consequence that you don't necessarily want, really. 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It's talking about escaping the pollutions of this life. Now, all of us have escaped certain elements, things that used to have us in bondage, things that were wrong according to the biblical admonition. And we repented of that, and we asked God to clean our record, and he did, with the blood of Christ. And so now we walk as vessels that once were dirty, now we're clean by the grace of God. And we walk in newness of life. Once we were in darkness, now we're walking in light of God's word, because the word of God is light. It administers the light of God's spirit into the mind and helps us to understand what God really wants of us. He says, again, no one having put his or her hand to the plow and then looking back where? Remember Lot's wife. She looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah where she came from. And what happened to her? The consequence? She lost her life. And so in this same particular situation, you and I are told not to look back, because if that is the case, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things that they do in the military is they take a bunch of green recruits and they train them. And they train them what? To be a good soldier. And they have to make those soldiers what? Fit for combat. Because they're going to go into some very difficult situations. You and I are called to be soldiers for Jesus Christ, and God is taking us through basic training so that we will be fit for the spiritual combat that we may have to go through as individuals. These parallels are just too striking. I mean, it's not something that's so hard to understand. You never know what's down the road of life. Only God does. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He sees it all. You and I don't. And we're not told to sit around worrying about tomorrow or living in the past. We're told to live now, make the most of it, enjoy the gift of life God has given you. But be careful, because as good as you are and as good as you try, you can fall. Because it is a crush out there to do evil. And Satan would like to destroy as many sons and daughters of God that he can. We look at biblical examples because, again, Romans 15 and verse 4, everything that has been written is for our learning. What are we learning? And if we're not learning, we can't be trained and fit for the kingdom of God. So what we learn from the Word of God, which is our instruction manual, and every soldier, when they go into their branch of the service, what do? They get a manual. They're expected to know what that manual says, how to do certain things under certain conditions. And then they go through exercises to see how well do they learn. And you and I do the same thing spiritually. We're going through exercises every day to see how well are we learning. Are we heeding the warning signs of God that he tells us to be alert for, to watch? That the Apostle Paul was crying with tears saying, please, brethren, please, pay attention to this. Don't let this slip, because these are dangerous days in which we're living. And it's gotten even more so today. Well, for example, we have individuals, and God pulls no punches. He helps us to understand by giving us role models. He says, do you think Noah was Mr. Super righteous? Noah stumbled. You read his account. What about King David? Well, King David is high on the list. He's going to be the king in the kingdom of God. But oh, did he go through a terrible ordeal. Come from a very dysfunctional state of affairs in his family. Family going in all directions. One son trying to overthrow his kingdom. All these things. And why did that happen? Because God says, you have dishonored me in the eyes of the people. I have these nations round about know that I am God, that I put you on that throne, that I have been the one fighting for Israel. And now you do this terrible ordeal, and you know the story of Bathsheba and what happened. And God said, because of that, blood will never leave your family. In other words, you're going to have trials, David. And he did. Then what about Solomon? Man, a guy who started out like a house of fire, so young. God was so impressed. He said, this is incredible what you're asking for wisdom, how to govern the people, to help them. He said, mostly people don't ask that. They're asking for riches and they're asking for this and that. And you're asking for wisdom to help the people that I made you king over. Well, because of all the things you didn't ask for, and you asked for the right thing, I'm going to give you the wisdom you asked for and all the other stuff you didn't ask for, and people are going to be absolutely blown away. They're not going to be able to fathom this Solomon. And he had peace in his kingdom during that period of reign when he was in charge. And then what happened? Beware, because you read the story of Solomon when he grew old. You see, as the years go by, you have to really discipline yourself to stay on course with what you believe. Because as the years go by, you can start losing the luster and the shine and the beauty of the promise of God. And it doesn't look so important. And of course, Solomon's great problem was what? He loved women. Oh, brother, did he love women. And women are lovable. They really are. God gave women to balance out mankind. Man wouldn't make it without women. But for every good woman behind a man, there are bad women behind men. And history reports that. Well, in this particular case, for Solomon, he brought in foreign gods. Here he had the true God of heaven and earth, and he brings in and starts bringing temples of foreign gods into the land. And that's a story you can read at your own recognizance. It's just sad. So Solomon, and then there was a guy with the Apostle Paul. You might remember his name. His name was Demas. Demas was a helper, but later it says Demas forsook Paul when he was in prison. He didn't want to get, I guess, involved, and so, like a lot of people, he just backed away, went back, got lost in the shadows of the world. And what happened? Well, he fell back into the danger of the world. And you and I are constantly told to be careful that we don't go back because, again, of the pollutions that we were blessed to escape. The weekly Sabbath, the annual holy days that we're going to be observing before we know it, are wonderful memorials of the plan and purpose of God. We can never forget the plan and purpose of God. We are not here by accident. We're here by divine calling. And this calling makes it very special in a way, because you notice the whole world is not here with us, are they? We're just a small handful. And these handful of congregations are they're sprinkled like salt all around the world. And yet God knows everyone where they are. And what does he expect of us? He expects of us to be lights in a darkened world. Not to try to convert people, but just to be a witness. Only God can convert with the power of his Holy Spirit. But we are to be an example so that when people see us, in essence, they have a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ working in our lives. Because that's what God's doing. He's working in and through us to accomplish his will and his purpose. And the reason why we're able to do what we do is because God is behind the scenes doing this. You and I, without God, we're just like we were back then in the world. We just did everything the way we wanted to do it. And God told us, that's not going to do. That's not going to work. And so therefore, God asked us to do what? Keep his commandments. To love one another, as Jesus says, as I have loved you. That would become very, very important as far as marking the men and women who truly want to walk in the ways of God. There are many who talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And God knows who they are. Our job is not to have to evaluate people from that perspective. God is the one who evaluates. God is the lawgiver and the judge. But God wants us to ask ourselves this question. Do we fear God enough in our own personal lives that we take seriously these warnings he gives? Because it's happened to others, and can happen to others in the future. Israel was pictured as a group of individuals that Moses had to fight all the time. They were just a bunch of hard-headed individuals, and what did they do? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12. Moses was telling them, he says, "Beware lest you forget the Lord." Because they had lived in Egypt. They were like slaves in Egypt. And still living like slaves instead of the free people that God had set free. He wanted them to remember where they came from, that they were in bondage from Egypt. We must never forget where we came from and why we're here today. Because if we don't understand why we're here, then what do we understand? We're just playing church? Oh, we don't want to do that. There's too many people in this world playing church. That's why they call them professing Christians. Because when it comes to doing something God asks them to do from the Word of God, they say, yeah, but. They're infected with what I call yabbititis. Because yabbititis shows itself always when people have an excuse. Yeah, but. This is why I can't do that. And God has called us to do what He has asked us to do. We are told in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 11, "Beware lest you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments." Wow, they're very important. "His judgments, His statutes that I command you this day." So Moses constantly was making the people God conscious. And that's what we have to do. As parents, we have to make our children God conscious, that they're going to have to answer to God one day like we do. Nobody escapes the reality of that very important aspect. Don't forget to do good. What did God give us? The golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, that's a good rule, because you don't want people to hate you, so don't go around hating people. You want people to do good things? You do good things. Set the example. Another area of warning. Notice again, I'm going from one to another, and whether I get them all in, I don't know, but I'm going to go as many as I can. There are scads of warnings here, because the tendency is that we will stumble and falter and forget some of these things and set ourselves up for problems. This one is beware of evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. You see, since Satan is the god and the power of this air that we breathe every day, he has the ability to influence us through his spirit. And just like the Holy Spirit influences us to do good, Satan can influence us to do wrong. And there are people who have problems in their mind. They have mental difficulties because of allowing evil thoughts to cross their mind. It was very, very bad when this trend went on years ago. You don't hear too much of it today, but people talk about living out their fantasies. Fantasies. That's not what God is calling. God called us to live out reality. And God's word spells out reality. We are not to live in fantasy land. That's down there in Disneyland in Orlando. You can go down there and play fantasy land, but that's not what God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to realize evil thoughts come from an evil source. And that's why we are supposed to, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're to cast down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You see, that's the key, the knowledge of God. If you're armed with the knowledge of God, you know how to shut down the arguments. If you don't know the knowledge of God, you may start struggling, having a difficult time to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. But if you have the knowledge of God, then you are told then, bringing every thought. Now, why do we have to bring every thought in to captivity to the obedience of Christ? In other words, to learn how to think like Jesus thought. Now, you and I don't always do that. So where do some of these other thoughts come from? Well, they can come from the fallen spirit world from Satan and his cohorts, or they can just come from our own carnality ourselves. We're pretty good at coming up with evil thoughts. Why? Because we've been tainted with that evil spirit. And that's why it's called by the Apostle Paul. We're not ignorant of his devices because of the law of sin in our members. We realize how this works in our lives and how it has affected us and how we've been called to be delivered from that. And that's where the light of God's commandments shed light on all evil one way or another. Now, you and I today are listening to something every day in this world. You're hearing more and more of it. You're hearing things that you know from a biblical standpoint are out and right evil. But we're living in a day where evil is now being called good and good is being called evil. It's happening right before our eyes. We're seeing the nations around us doing faithful to their pagan gods. The house of Israel, which was called to walk and be a Christian nation, to exemplify God, has forgotten their God, become secular now, and whatever mentioning of God goes on is more form and ceremony rather than deep devotion to the high Creator. You know, dear brethren, you have an example of a man, well, three of them actually, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were forced into a trial situation in which King Nebuchadnezzar said, when that horn goes off or those instruments and you start hearing that, I want everybody to drop to their knees to this golden statue, which was dedicated to him as the golden head. They wouldn't do it. And they said, King Nebuchadnezzar, you read that in Daniel 2, I believe, or 3, somewhere in that area. And he just merely said, we're not hesitant about this, king. We'll tell you very plainly, we will not bow to your false god. And our God is able to save you from your fiery furnace. Now, whether he does or not, we don't know. But this we do know. We will not worship your pagan statue. Into the fire they went. Because, see, they didn't know either. But all of a sudden, King Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he says, we threw three in there, didn't we? What's that fourth one doing in there? And they're walking around like they're having a picnic in the fire. They're not, their hair's not being singed. There's no smell of smoke on them and anything. They're just walking around like there's nothing here. Because you see, with God, fire doesn't hurt God. God is the one who can create fire, and he can also put it out. He can also let fire be all around you and yet never burn you. There's so many wonderful things about God because he's the creator of all things. There's nothing that he cannot do. So they have given us an example that if push ever comes to shove, and I hope and pray we never have to face something like that, but if it ever did, that's where our mind needs to go. Because any promise given to you by the world will not save you. Only the promises of God will save you when it's a life and death matter. So remember, we are to keep the knowledge of God. It keeps us clear in our minds. It keeps our minds pure. Because, again, we have to create a clean. You know, David said what? David's mind got all messed up. You know, all of us have had our minds messed up from time to time. And what did David pray in Psalm 51? He says, create a clean heart in me and renew a right spirit within me. My spirit's tainted. And I want you to please, God, clean it up. Why? Because against you and you only have I sinned. We all have, brethren. None of us can escape the reality of what the Word of God is saying. We also have to remember another warning that God gives us. He tells us, beware of false prophets. False prophets, Matthew 7, verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, which means they have hidden agendas. They're not playing according to the rules that the Word of God makes clear. Where are the false prophets today? Turn on your TV and you'll see plenty of them. And you as an individual, myself, anyone who is fair-minded, needs to sort the wheat from the chaff and try the Spirit to see, is this minister talking exactly like what the Bible says? Now, I heard one minister recently. I happened to catch a glimpse of his circumstance. And what he's doing is preaching a new form of grace. A new form of grace. Well, according to the Bible, there's only one form of grace. What happened? Where did this new one come from? What does it say in we're going to deal with in the book of Jude? We should earnestly seek for the faith once delivered, because there will be individuals who come along and they will say what? Turning the grace of God into license to do evil, which means they will not be in harmony with the Word of God and not in compliance, although they will appear like an angel of light. It will look good. You'll be maybe a portion of what is said is correct, but another portion is not. And you have to make the decision and the call, because these things are what affect people. It affects people's lives and the course of everyday living. So these individuals come along, and I have noticed, I don't know if you've ever, other than one individual I'm familiar with, but have you ever seen a false prophet get up and say that he was a minister of Satan and would like to deceive you? Last time I heard, they all say they represent Christ. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Many will come in my name saying I am the Christ. They won't deny that. And shall deceive many. Why? Because the many will not know what the Bible says. They're believing what the man says. And so Jesus says very much again, remember, beware of men. You've got to realize there are people out there with agendas. And there were individuals like Luke 6:26. He says, woe unto you when all manner of men shall speak well of you. For so did the fathers, it says, to the false prophets. You see, when you speak the truth, somebody's not going to like it. You can't have everybody liking you all the days of your life. Somebody out there doesn't like you. And that's sad, because we all want to be liked. That's just the human quality. We want to be liked. But when you embrace the truth of God, there are people who don't want it. They want to embrace something else. Well, God says that would be something you'll have to deal with. So just beware of that. Don't let that be an influence. And then we're told, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And we learned that during the days of unleavened bread and the Passover season. And boy, that'll be here before we know it. Matthew 16 and verse 11 talks about that. It says that leaven is something that penetrates and then causes wrong ideas to come forth. And people have to be careful to do the right thing and not the wrong thing. Well, there are certain things also that we have to be mindful of in our day and age. Because of materialism, we have to beware of greed. Greed, one of the seven deadly sins. There are a lot of greedy people out there today. And, you know, all you have to do is listen to the lottery. Oh, they're going to have all this money that can be yours if you have this lottery ticket. The only problem is, the odds against you of winning are horrific. And how many people do win? And then you hear about a certain publishing company that says, would you like to have $5,000 each week for the rest of your life? Would you like to have this? Would you like to have that? The temptations are out there constantly being told. Everybody would like to have a nest egg like that. But God doesn't give us a nest egg like that. He expects us to use what he gives us and use it the way he commands us to use it, to his glory. We have to watch out for vain philosophy, because there are people who have all kinds of crazy ideas today and philosophies of life. Philosophy means, how do you live or how do you look at life? What's your philosophy? I was shocked to find out that there are people whose philosophy is flat earth society. They still think the earth is flat and not round. Now, where they get that idea, they have to work at it, but in their minds, they believe it. Now, when you get there, an astronaut looking up there from space, and he's looking down there, and there's this beautiful blue round orb. I don't see anything flat in it, but they do. And you're not going to convince them that it's not flat, because they look out there. It looks flat to me. You know, the sun just falls off the end of the earth and comes up on the other end for some reason. Oh, it's just crazy, the things that are there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, it says that the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days that some will depart from the faith. So you see, the warnings will go unheeded, because seducing spirits will be out there, and they will lead individuals to say, well, I don't think this is what I want anymore. Well, then we didn't count the cost, because if we didn't really want it, we shouldn't get involved in it in the first place. If we counted the cost and we saw it for what it is, and then we look around and see everything else going on out there, and it confirms what the book says, I look around and I see confirmation. I see skeptics. I see those that deny that there ever was a flood, or they try to say the earth is just 6,000 years and not thousands and thousands, maybe millions of years, but they can't seem to get it correlated. I don't think Noah would have had a good time having dinosaurs on the boat. I think that boat would have sunk if he had a couple of T-Rexes out there, because I don't believe they were friendly. But scientists and archaeologists know that those things did exist at one time, and those things came to a catastrophic end. And mankind came on the scene, and the Bible tells us, through a marvelous recreation account, and mankind was brought in to the mammalian, I guess they call it the mammals, the age of the mammals. We are so blessed, dear brethren, to be mindful of these things. And we're told to beware of disbelief. Disbelief. Because people can get into certain attitudes of mind, and it's hard for them to really submit themselves. They don't want to submit themselves to anything but themselves. And God says we all have to submit to Him and through Christ, because we are purchased by the very blood of Christ. We are not our own. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And you have people today, you try to explain and discuss certain things with them, and they'll just look at you and say, well, I don't believe that. Or they'll say, well, that's your truth, that's not my truth. Well, that's just how far people have gotten away from proper reasoning and logic and thinking. Because again, the scripture says we are to come reason together with God. And you have to sit down and talk to people who are willing to discuss the pros and cons of issues. Today we're polarized as a nation. The world's getting more polarized. If you don't believe my way, it's the highway. A lot of people have this attitude today. Well, Christ warned that a divided house, he says, will not stand. Turn with me to Luke 12, the gospel account of Luke 12 and verse 29. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. It says here, ask not what we shall eat or what we shall drink. It says, and neither be you of a doubtful mind. There's an old saying, he that doubts is damned. And that's what happens. You know, Peter, when he encountered Christ walking on the water, you remember the account in the Gospels, and the winds were blowing, and Jesus comes walking in the third hour, somewhere around 3 in the early morning hours, and they thought they were spooked. They said, it's a ghost. But Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And he jumps out of the boat because Jesus says, yes, come. And so he jumps out of the boat, starts walking on the water. Now, how can he walk out? You know, water is not designed to hold a person up. You swim through water, but you don't walk on it. But he walked on it. How did he walk on it? Through the power of God that kept him up on there, walking as if it were on hard ground. But when he took his eyes off, it says, and he saw the wind and heard the wind and all of that, and then he began to sink. Why? He began to doubt. And once he started doubting, he lost contact and faith and trust in the command that Jesus told him, come, I'll keep you up. And then he cried out, Lord, save me. Well, see, when we fall into the same category, when we doubt, we're saying, I don't know if I have faith to trust you enough. And that's why he told me, he said, Peter, wherefore did thou doubt? Why did you stop trusting me? I was there to help to keep you up. Mankind sinned in the beginning, and sin has corrupted our world and made it very difficult for all of us to live in this world at this time. There's a lot of good things, blessings that we need to thank God for every day of our life. It's great to be with each and every one of you every Sabbath, because you too have been called. Like Jesus said, your eyes have been opened, your ears. Unto you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Prophets in the past would love to have been in your seat right now, but it wasn't God's call. He gave you and I the opportunity to witness in our generation, just like David did in his, and everyone else has done in theirs. This is our generation, folks, to witness the truth of God and to prepare ourselves so that we are fit combat soldiers for what is yet to come. May God help us all to heed the warnings of God. They are given by a loving God, our Father in heaven, who doesn't want us to hurt, and most effectively does not want us to be swallowed up by this evil world that's going to one day totally unravel and come to its end. There's a new world coming, and that world is the world we look forward to and are striving to prepare with the help of God. It's called the kingdom of God. And remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place that God has for each and every one of us. Let's not let the enemy rob us of our spiritual birthright. It's more than I can put in words. But the adversary would like to take it from us. Revelation tells us in the scriptures, Philadelphia, remember, don't let anyone take your crown. It's your crown, but there are enemies out there that would like to steal it from you. May God help us to earn a faithful report so that we can say, like the Apostle Paul, I know that there waits for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous Lord will give to everyone who follows his laws and his commands. God be with us all.